St Andrew's podcast for Sunday the 10th of May 2020. What sort of boat are you travelling in? There are a number of inspiring readings set for today, and it's proved difficult to choose which one to focus on. The Psalm, Psalm 31, gives us encouragement that God is our rock, a fortress, something we can rely on in every storm, in every life event, whether good or bad. When tragedy strikes, we look for our rock. And this passage assures us that God will guide us and lead us. We do not need to fear. Psalm 133. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me. Be my strong rock, a fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my stronghold. Guide me and lead me for your name's sake. Take me out of the net that they have laid secretly for me. For you are my strength. Into your hands I commend my spirit. For you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. But sometimes it can be difficult to trust. In the gospel reading, we hear the words of Jesus. That's the words of John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Jesus. For we can be sure that Jesus is going ahead to prepare a place for us, for you and for me. And there are many rooms in his dwelling place, and there is one set aside for you. John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is a reading that we often use in funeral services, as it's such an image of hope that Jesus loves us and prepares a place for us. It's what we do for our loved ones. Life is not always easy, and there are numerous challenges to face. In the reading from Acts, we hear about how the disciples are getting on now that Jesus is no longer with them, and now that they are finding their way, finding out how to be disciples. We heard last week about how they were learning to meet together, to learn, break bread, and to share what they have. In today's reading, in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, we hear of the stoning of Stephen. He's persecuted for his faith. But notice how the strength of his faith shines through. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, Stephen said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. Did you notice the reference to Saul holding the coats? He has an interesting story, as he's a devout Jew who carries out the persecution of Christians. But he has an amazing experience on the road to Damascus and becomes a disciple of Christ himself. The persecutor becomes a great evangelist. Saul will become Paul. It's a great story of transformation. We're not guaranteed an easy ride because we are a Christian. The road is fraught with danger, but we can take heart because God is with us. He is our rock. What amazing faith that Stephen has, that he can be in the midst of being harmed, punished only for speaking words of love, If you look at the passage before, it's a sermon that gets him into trouble. He's explaining why he follows Christ. In the midst of the pain and the suffering, as he's dying, Stephen forgives his persecutors. Lord, he says, do not hold this sin against them. What an amazing act of love and faith. It's hard to imagine how we might hold up in the face of such adversity, and whether we too could forgive those who persecute us. Whatever we face, we know that God is with us. We have that promise, that certainty, that God will be our refuge, our strength, and our rock. And so it is with the reading in the story of Noah going into the Old Testament. It's a story you might be familiar with. It's in chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters gradually receded from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains appeared. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out the raven, and it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot, and it returned to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took it and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked and saw the face of the ground was drying. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you, of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and every animal, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out of the ark by families. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you notice in verse 8, God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the domestic animals with him in the ark. We're struggling with a lockdown for 6 weeks. In the story of Noah, they're locked up for a long time on a boat. In uncertain times, no land on sight. In the light of our current experience, it's made me look at this story differently. I can't help but see it as a reboot. The flood becomes an opportunity for Noah and his family to emerge from that captivity different, changed, improved by the challenges that they have faced, ready to look after their world in a new way. It's as if the flood represents human catastrophe. It's a wake-up call. The people had been given prophetic announcements that they ignored. But after spending time on a boat, perhaps so long on a boat, maybe anyone would be starting to think differently. I think it's really important to remember that in the story, God does not destroy what he has created. It's more like a reset, an opportunity for a new start. Sometimes, if I'm working on the computer, my screen freezes and I get that rainbow wheel of doom on my computer telling me that the program is stuck. And after I've waited for, a considerable time, sometimes my only option is to close down and start again, hoping that I've not lost too much of the sermon I've been writing so I don't have to start from the beginning again. It's a reset, a reboot. I don't need to build the whole computer again. I just need to reset. And so many people have commented that the worldwide lockdown has led us to remember what we value. We've found out again what is important to us. We've got out of our normal routines and we've begun to salvage the important things. We've realised what we really miss: our friends, our family, human contact, our freedom. And we've learned what it is that we can live without. It's all been a bit like a reset. We've had to go back to basics, making sure that we have food and medicine. We each have different experiences of lockdown, and I know that some people are working harder than ever before. Some people in frontline jobs who are keeping the health service, emergency services, schools and the food industry, and keeping them all going. Some folk are working from home, whilst others are on furlough. Some people have more time to be creative, to bake, to garden, perhaps to pick up those crafts they've not done for some time. We've all had to go with some of the privileges and luxuries that we have come accustomed to. But I think probably one of the hardest things has been missing seeing people. And we've had to find new ways to connect, and we have found new ways to do this. As a church, we meet by Facebook Live, by Zoom, by WhatsApp, as well as some of the more traditional ways by phone, text and email. But as we have closed down our lives, our shops and our leisure activities, our work, our industry, we have seen that pollution has decreased. You may have noticed more birdsong. We've seen instances where wild animals have reclaimed areas that previously were civilised. I wonder what it is that we can take out of our lockdown experiences that we want to keep. What could life look like when we finally do find dry land and it's time to dock? Like Noah and his family finding dry land, like the disciples in Acts becoming followers of Christ in a new time, we too will have an opportunity to work out what life could be like. Maybe we will have different priorities. Maybe there are things we've done in lockdown that we need to continue. Maybe we have found things out about ourselves, good or bad. And I wonder what church might look like. Like the disciples in Acts and who'd only known synagogue and temple, we will need to find out what it means to be church together after lockdown. But whatever happens, we know that God remembers us, that God is with us. We are not on our own. As a country, we have adopted the rainbow as a sign of hope. Many folk have a rainbow in their window. It's a sign that we will get through this. And in Genesis, the rainbow is a sign of God's covenant, a promise that this will never happen again. It's a promise of goodness, of love. It's a promise that doesn't need to be made again. It is for once and for all. So as we see the rainbows in windows, and if we see one in the sky, we too can know that God is with us. God has got this. He is our rock and our salvation. Going to end with a prayer. Risen Christ, your wounds declare your love for the world and the wonder of your risen life. Give us compassion and courage to risk ourselves for those we serve. God is with us. Amen.